It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, presented, of course, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. The Commanders. I guess I played for the Commanders organization. I don't know. Commanders, Cowboys. I can't even say it. I can't even say it with a straight face. I don't know what to do. Do I say I played for the Redskins because that's who I played for? Or did I play for the Commanders? We'll have to discuss that momentarily with not only Joe Dolan from FantasyPoints.com, but the great Tom Brawley from FantasyPoints.com. I'm telling you, FantasyPoints.com has an army of dudes like Dolan, like Brawley, like Graham, like Scott, like Guru, like Kaplan, like Cosell. I mean, I could go on and on. The point is, if you haven't already, if you listen to this podcast, you haven't gone to FantasyPoints.com and use the code 21FEAST, What are we even doing? You got to follow these guys on social media as well. Joe is still, after all these years, the fantasy gangsta at FG_Dolan. Tom is just regular old at Tom Brawley, although he's rocking the beard now, which I appreciate.
Keep it simple, Ross. I had the FG at one point as well. I switched it over to Tom Brawley. Keep it nice and easy. You know, you just say the name. That's the Twitter handle. It makes it easy when I do these guest spots.
I think Joe likes the fact that I call him the fantasy gangster. I think he's thought about changing his handle and thought, you know what? I like that I'm the fantasy gangster.
Ross, like, here's the thing. First and foremost, I have the blue check mark, so that's an important part of the. I get to have my opinion highlighted more, but no, the fantasy gangster thing is very good. And also, Joe Dolan was an Irish lounge singer, I think he passed recently. And so occasionally, I'll get older Irish women tweeting at me about their favorite Joe Dolan song, and I'm like, well, you know, sorry. I mean, not me, but I do appreciate.
But you're a good singer, Joe. You could fill the shoes of the old Joe Dolan.
Yeah.
You could be an Irish singer.
Let me look up some of his hits. Joe Dolan, Joseph Francis Robert Dolan. That's actually my middle name, by the way. So my name is Joseph Francis Dolan. His name is Joseph Francis Robert Dolan. Chiefly known in Ireland for his association with show bands and for his innovative style and high-pitched singing voice.
Oh, you're not high-pitched, though.
Oh, I can be if you want me to.
You have innovative style, though.
Yeah, very innovative. Make me an island, Teresa. You're such a good-looking woman. Oh boy, there's
Teresa. You're such a good. No, I've never heard of it.
Those are two different songs, actually. Teresa, you're such a good-looking woman. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we know we got the particulars out of the way, and Tom, I'm going to let you intro Joe, why Tom is here, because he's here for a very specific reason.
Right. Well, Tom's the director of betting at FantasyPoints.com, and there is one thing that a lot of people like to do at the Super Bowl. Bet. So, as we know, you have the betting podcast. Tom, is always doing this stuff as well. But we also come up with at FantasyPoints.com, yet another throw to the website here, a Super Bowl prop pool, Ross, where it's so much fun to hand out at your Super Bowl party. We're going to put the PDF out there, but we have like 30 plus questions this year of prop bets for the Super Bowl, and they'll be in-game props. Who's the leading receiver? Who's the leading rusher? Who's going to score the first touchdown? In addition to a lot of fun stuff like the national anthem, the color of the Gatorade, who's the first performer at halftime in this loaded halftime show. And we assign, and Tom does a great job taking the implied odds and assigning a point value to that. So it basically becomes a multiple choice test where, for instance, you can say, who's going to score the first touchdown? Is it going to be a Ram receiver, a Ram running back, a Bengal receiver, a Bengal running back, or a defense special teams? Now, obviously, a defense special teams is less likely to happen. than just a regular old skill position player scoring the first touchdown. So if you answer that and get it correctly, you get more points for it. It's just like if you put $5 on a longer odds bet, you're going to make more money than if you put it on an even odds bet. So we do a nice little fun pool, and Tom's been going through. He's been looking at all the props, but also he's also made some early wagers, which I think will help color some of our analysis for the fantasy aspect next week.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and next week Joe and I will dive into the game real hard from a fantasy perspective, of course, and likely have another great guest on, maybe another fantasypoints.com superstar. I should mention I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. I'm impressed across the board. More and more people starting to watch these shows, which is very cool. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Tom, let's start, though, because prop bets and fantasy football are very heavily intertwined. I'm looking at DraftKings right now, DraftKings Sportsbook, and they've got the rushing yards up. They've got the receiving yards up, receptions, all these things for so many different players. So talk to me about this, Tom. What is your process? Where do you start? When did these props come out, and where did you start? Do you like do projections and then just scour them real quick to see which ones don't mess with your projections, or what?
Yeah, so this is the earliest I've ever seen, you know, prop lines come out for the Super Bowl. I mean, I was looking around. DraftKings started putting stuff up basically at 10, 11 a.m. I'm on there, you know, checking it out. I'm looking for all the different lines. So, you know, we know they put the actual spread and the total out, you know, as soon as that San Francisco and the Rams game finished up Sunday night. But there's so much competition in the market anymore that these books are looking to get their lines out as early as possible. So I was on there Monday checking them out. So we do projections on the website. I usually use those as a baseline. John Hansen, you know, does, you know, most of the major lifting on that. I have my own opinions, you know, based on, you know, I work on our waiver wire quite a bit. So I know usage and, you know, how guys are getting played, injuries, all, you know, I have to keep tabs, all that stuff. So I go in, you know, with basic lines in my head. So, I'm checking them out. And if there is a significant difference between, you know, where I think a line should be and where the actual prop line is, that's when I'll, you know, fire a bet and I'll put it up. You know, I have my best bets article up on the site I put that up first thing Monday morning at 10 a.m. usually, you know, all throughout the season. And I'm filling that thing in all week here. So, you know, I did it with the Super Bowl here. So we have a couple bets up on the site already. I continue to look at all the different lines that are available. You know, not only at DraftKings, I look all over and look for the best lines out there, and I'll put them up and I'll recommend them as plays. But the Super Bowl, I know, you know, this is the time, you know, there's not as much DFS going on. Fantasy lineups are kind of done. So people are looking to put some bets and, you know, have some friendly wagers on the game here.
So, okay. So that's interesting. So DraftKings had it up by 10, 11 a.m. on Monday morning.
Yes, I was on there. You know, I'm just checking everything out and I could see them start coming out. So this is the earliest I can remember. I don't know when they start trickling out last year, but, you know, there's just more and more competition out there. And, you know, everything is so automated as well. You know, and that, with this game, there's a couple injuries. You know, CJ Uzoma injured his knee. Tyler Higbee injured his knee. They both could play, but, you know, they're not going to significantly alter what other guys' lines are. You know, they're not going to – if it was a Cooper Kupp, you know, they would have a tough time putting up lines for the rest of the offense because, you know, he controls so much of what goes on. So they kind of got lucky in that way as well, that there's not a whole lot of major injuries, which we want to see. We want to see the best players playing in the biggest games. So that's a good thing.
So another question I have on that. So you've got these projections. Essentially – how much do they have to be off? I think this is an important lesson for our listeners or viewers. How much of a spread does there have to be between your projection and what the line set at for you to fire? Can you give me an example, or is there a percentage or a number of yards that's like, is it 10 yards? Is it 5? Like, I don't know what the margins are that we're looking at or talking here.
Yeah, I mean, the larger the number gets, the, you know, I use basically percentages in my head, you know, like a passing yard difference. You know, we got the guys sitting at 278 yards, you know, a 5 or 10 yard difference on a passing total isn't going to, you know, it's not a significant number, but that could be a huge difference on, say, like Tyler Boyd's number. It was set at 43.5 when I was looking on Monday. I thought that should have been projected more in the, like the 34 to 35 yard range. So that is a, you know, significant difference. You know, it's only 7-8 yard difference, you know, when you're looking at it, but that's a big difference when we're talking about just 43 yards compared to 278 yards when we're looking at like a Matthew Stafford prop. So it's all relative, but I generally use, you know, percentages. I'm looking for numbers that are, you know, say 15 to 20% off of, you know, what's listed.
Got it. I love it. Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. So, because that was kind of where I was curious about. That's interesting about Tyler Boyd, by the way. So, did you go under on Tyler Boyd?
I did. I thought the number opened up, you know, a little too large. It has been bet down. It was 43.5 on Monday. I'm checking to see where it's at.
39.5 right now.
Yeah, it was a bit high, I guess. I guess maybe they were thinking maybe CJ Uzomah wouldn't play, but it's kind of looking like he might play. But, you know, he hasn't been really close to in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and he's gone under that number. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's like, you know, 11 or 12 of his games he's gone under 40 receiving yards. So he's been more of a bit player here, especially down the stretch. You know, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are, you know, eating up most of the receiving production in that offense. So he's been, you know, kind of relegated to, you know, a handful of short underneath targets and very few big plays. The only one I can really think of in recent weeks was in that Baltimore game when he did a little slot out and up and down the seam. And that's about it for all his big plays here in recent weeks.
Before I forget, Tom, I have a theory that I wanted to run by you. Playoff games, I love the over rushing yards for quarterbacks. I think they're more willing to run and try to get first downs and maybe not even slide or sacrifice their bodies because of the, you know, win or you're done scenario. So I feel like that's been pretty good to me. You know, over Josh Allen against the Chiefs, over Patrick Mahomes. I like the over for Joe Burrow last week, and he got it on like one run. And, you know, that's my theory. So looking at it, Matthew Stafford, 5.5 yards, that's one run. He just needs to run one time.
He beat that last week too, I think, too.
What's that?
I think Stafford beat that last week too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Burrow, 11.5. That's probably two runs for him, but he's going to be under pressure. He's going to have to do something. So he might run. I don't know. That's my like little theory that's been good for me.
I completely agree. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes has kind of been the poster child for that the last couple of years because, you know, he plays a little bit more conservative during regular season, and then we see him really taking off and running in these games. He actually led the divisional round in rushing. I don't know what his odds were, but you know, we had all the running backs in the divisional round. They do these, you know, divisional round specials, and I'm sure he was like plus, you know, 40 to 1 or 50 to 1 to do it, and he actually led all the divisional round in rushing. But I jumped on the Matthew Stafford. It was at 4.5 when it first came out on Monday. It's been bumped, you know, it's been bumped up a yard. But I went back and looked at the numbers, and he scrambled only 9 times during the regular season. That's over 17 games. He had 90 rushing yards on those plays. In the playoffs, he's already in 3 games, he's already scrambled 5 times for 37 yards. So you know, he's scrambling basically 1.5 times per game here in the regular season, in the postseason. We've seen him actually, you know, he scored 2 rushing touchdowns. He hasn't scored a regular season touchdown in, you know, 4 or 5 years. I was looking at the numbers, but he scored 2 rushing touchdowns here in the postseason. So, you know, it's not a big weapon of his. It's not, you know, you never think of Matthew Stafford as this guy that's making a lot of plays outside of structure. But, you know, he does still have that weapon. He's still a pretty good athlete. And when things break down here in the postseason, he's been running a little bit more. So I did like that. I guess the only concern would be, you know, from a couple of years ago, I had a Patrick Mahomes, the bad beat of all bad beats. He was, I forget what the rushing yardage total was in the Kansas City 49ers Super Bowl right before the COVID outbreak. He was up at like 41 rushing yards or whatever the number was, and he had to get up over 34.5 yards, and they needed to waste off the final 2 minutes of the clock, and he, you know, took like a 12-yard, he went backwards and took a knee for like a 12-yard long. It went under the prop, and that was one of the biggest knees to the balls I've had with you know, player props in the Super Bowl, for sure.
And you have to keep in mind that these are 2 quarterbacks who aren't running quarterbacks. So, like, now, that's not to say, you know, Burrow and Stafford obviously can use their athleticism, but these guys are much more likely, Ross, to hit an under by kneeling down than somebody like a Josh Allen is. So just keep that – because Stafford, like, look at last week. Stafford had 8 rushing yards with a long of 14. Because he took – and his kneel downs were 2 yards deep. So just keep that in mind if you're betting one of these overs. But, again
– you want a little extra cushion.
you can also look at the fact that what if the game doesn't end on a kneel down, which, by the way, is one of our props, Tom, in the contest. What is the last play of the game? Any play from scrimmage, a field goal attempt, or a kickoff, or a kneel down, which is the most likely. So there's a lot to take into account there. But yeah, that Mahomes one was an all-time bad beat. I mean, I remember people on Twitter just exploding when that happened.
Wow, that's interesting. 2 things I want to point out quick. Number one, I think most of you guys know this, but Even Money Podcast, Steve Fezzik will have all of his props next week, including a lot of specialty props, you know, Gatorade color, stuff like that. Most of the stuff he does the same bets every year and they win. It's like, I don't know, will it go to overtime? Although maybe this is a year not to do that because there have been so many overtime games. But make sure you listen to the Even Money Podcast or check it out this week, but especially next week. The other thing is I am trying to stay healthy to finish the season strong, which is why I'm taking these Athletic Greens now. It's this like little scooper. You put it in this powder, put it in a water bottle. You shake it up, drink it. You can chug it, whatever. It's got 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens, I'm going to go with. Here's what matters, okay? It's less than $3 a day. It's less than getting coffee. They have over 7,000 5-star reviews. Dudes like Tim Ferriss, who's a legend, take this stuff and are trusted. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/feast. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/feast to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Let's get to some of the other ones that you like, Tom. What about Cooper Kupp? You mentioned him earlier. Is there something about Kupp that you're in on?
Yeah, I mean, he's been excellent all season. If you're looking at his receiving yards prop, you know, whenever the number gets up over 100 yards, I have a tough time betting it, but he has been absolute money on these. He's, like, been 14 out of 20 in terms of his, like, receiving yards prop just absolutely excellent with it. I actually like, you know, depending on where you're looking, his MVP odds. You know, I think we're going to find out that probably Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP award next week. I think they'll announce that's, I think that's part of the award show next Thursday. So, you know, we're going to find out that probably Rodgers has won that. But I feel like there's been some momentum building for Cooper Kupp here in the postseason. He's been excellent again. Every week he's coming up with big play. You know, he was the difference maker last week against the 49ers late in that game. You know, he's up to 170 catches this season, up over 2,300 yards and 20 touchdowns.
Just that is unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable. And I think there's, you know, the award has become, the MVP of the regular season award has become such a quarterback award. But, you know, if there was one year, I mean, Cooper Kupp should have probably gotten more consideration for the award. He's not going to win it, but I think there might be, you know, some – if he has a big game in the Super Bowl, I think there's going to be some sentiment that, you know, maybe we, this guy deserves some sort of recognition. You know, it's, I think, I don't know how it's working this year, but last year, you know, it's 16 writers that vote on the award, and, you know, it's fans that also vote on the award. So if Kupp has another big game, if he, you know, if he would somehow get to 161 yards, like he's done, you know, several times already this season, and he breaks Larry Fitzgerald's receiving yards in a postseason record, I think there's going to be a lot of momentum for Kupp. So, you know, depending on where you look, it's plus 600, plus 700. I really like that number.
So his number for receiving is 102.5. Where are you there?
Yeah, I mean it's been – he's been so good going over this number. It's literally – I think he's gone over his total 14 out of 20 times this year. So I'm not stepping in front of him. I don't know. I probably won't necessarily bet it, but I could only look towards the over here. He's such a big part of the offense. You know, if Tyler Higbee isn't, you know, in a factor here, maybe that you know, results in another target or two. And – you know, Odell Beckham is even, you know, he's even helping him out here. He's become more of a factor here in the last, you know, three or four games. He's been, you know, drawing attention away. They can't, you know, just send two guys at him and let Odell Beckham do whatever he wants. So I think that's also worked to his advantage here. So I can only look at overs with Cooper Kupp props right now.
All right. So, Joe, did he just have the best receiving season ever?
Yeah, yes. I mean, I think you can talk about Randy Moss's 2007 with all the touchdowns up there, but Cooper Kupp certainly did. And I kind of am with Tom and like, all right, let's just say Cooper Kupp goes over the 102.5. Okay, well, you're minus 110 to hit that over. Well, part of him going over that would be including if he has 135 yards and two touchdowns and 11 catches. And what if Matthew Stafford, over half of his passing yards, go to Cooper Kupp? Who's going to win the MVP? Now, Stafford is by far the betting favorite. So he's the betting favorite for obvious reasons, okay? The Rams are 4.5-point favorites, which, by the way, I think that's a little long, and I think Tom agrees with that. I'm looking at a 4.5 right now. But because they're the favorites and he's the quarterback of the Rams, he's the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl MVP. But there is a chance that Cooper Kupp accounts for over half of Matthew Stafford's passing production. Maybe he scores multiple touchdowns. And then, like Tom said, building on the narrative that, man, you know, he didn't win the MVP, but he should have gotten more consideration. I wonder if the sports writers in the box at the game are going to be like, this is Cooper Kupp. This was his year. This was his award. I'm gonna put it on his shoulders, and I'm gonna vote him Super Bowl MVP. I do kind of like that one, Tom. And I
you
do.
Know why I don't? You know why? Where what? I disagree.
Go ahead.
Please. He's gonna win Offensive Player of the Year.
I mean, I think that's
going to win the Offensive Player of the Year award.
So they're going to say, "Oh, that's his award." Yeah, yeah.
They'll
yeah.
say, you know, Rodgers got MVP, Kupp got Offensive Player of the Year, Stafford gets MVP of the game.
Yeah, the only thing I will say though is Ross, if let's say Stafford throws for under 300 in this game, and Kupp goes for 135 and two touchdowns, I just kind of feel like Kupp will be the story that people are latching on to, right, of the game. He was uncoverable all year. He was uncoverable in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, like, I feel like there's too big a gulf between Stafford's MVP odds and Kupp's MVP odds.
I agree with that. I think, you know, when we look back at seasons, I don't think we necessarily remember the Offensive Player of the Year award. I think the first two awards that come to mind are who won the MVP that season and who won the Super Bowl MVP that season. So, you know, this has been the year of Cooper Kupp. I mean, this has been the best offensive season for a receiver if you include the postseason. I mean, Calvin Johnson may have had more receiving yards in the regular season. Michael Thomas may have had more receptions. But when you put together his body of work as a whole, I just think that there might be some, you know, I think that, you know, that it's a great narrative. Not that Matthew Stafford doesn't have a great narrative as well. And that's what we're always looking for with these MVP awards. I mean, he goes from Detroit and, you know, never, you know, barely playing in the postseason games to winning a Super Bowl. There's no doubt. If Matthew Stafford goes out, plays a relatively clean game, you know, throws for 300 yards and two or three touchdowns, he's the betting favorite for a reason. But if Cooper Kupp, you know, does a lot of the heavy lifting, like he's done quite a few times this season, and, you know, if Stafford has a turnover or two, I think Kupp is very much in the mix to win the award.
Let me bring up potentially, Ross, another narrative. What if there's a narrative street, what if Ja'Marr Chase goes nuts in this game? No rookie's ever won the Super Bowl MVP. Now, I think I'm leaning with Tom. Like, I think everybody is coronating Joe Burrow right now, right? But what if Chase has one of those games and he's had like three of them this year?
And yeah, you know, I like Chase's odds, Joe. I mean, he's sitting around when I was looking, he was, you know, plus 1600. If you look around, there's some other numbers that are a little bit higher. But, you know, Chase, this has been a very special season. He's been kind of anointed even before the draft that he might be an all-time great. You know, he just had one of the best rookie seasons ever here. This would be kind of the way to go out in style. But it is a Joe Burrow, you know, Joe Burrow, what he's done in the postseason, it's going to take a lot to beat. But, you know, we've seen him have a couple 200 – he's had two 200-yard games, up over 100 yards seven different times this season. In 20 games, it's just remarkable what he's done as a rookie. So if he goes out and has a monster game as well, and he's on an absolute tear going into the postseason, going into the Super Bowl, you know, starting with the last game or two in the regular season, you know, he had that monster game against the Chiefs where, you know, he won a bunch of people fantasy titles with his performance, you know, 50-some fantasy points in that game.
Continued
right through the playoffs. I mean, even last week he was getting – double team quite a bit, and he still finds a way to score a touchdown, get six catches. So I love Chase's odds as well.
Anything else? Stafford, Mixon, Aaron Donald. You saw on Aaron Donald, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, what are we thinking whenever we, you know, kind of break down this game? What is the first thing that everybody thinks about with this matchup? Yeah. It's the offensive line mismatch with the Bengals versus the defense, you know, the strength of the defensive line for the Rams. So if that starts to play a factor in the game and say, you know, this is a total that's, you know, started at 50 and a half. It's been getting steadily bet down here. There were some 48s last week. It's yesterday. It's settled back in at 48 and a half here as of Wednesday, but it's been getting steady money towards the under here. So if this turns into a little bit of a defensive game, and we just saw Jeffrey Simmons just eat the Bengals' interior offensive line alive. He, you know, he racked up three sacks in that game. The Titans sacked Joe Burrow nine times in that game. And, you know, for the season, he's been sacked 63 times in 19 games. That is, you know, pretty brutal. So if this turns into, you know, a defensive type of game, and we're looking for narratives again, you know, everybody knows Aaron Donald. He's the, you know, preeminent, you know, defensive player in the league. If he could get, you know, maybe two sacks, and maybe if he forces a fumble or he just starts creating havoc there, I could see a path to him winning. But yeah, it's going to take probably a low scoring game for that to happen.
Check him out on social media at Tom Brawley. Love prop conversations. We got to have you on more often, Tom. These are awesome. Love these debates and discussions. He's the fantasy gangster. You know it. At FG_Dolan. Make sure you get all the content from both these guys. FantasyPoints.com. Use the code 21FEAST. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Other than that, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.